Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, when he first appeared on the PowerCast in 2020, Bill Kuzlis was telling us about his introduction to the amazing world of the paranormal, and particularly the Point Pleasant, West Virginia events way back in the 60s, the Mothman. And as I recall, Bill, you got your start from the movie The Mothman Prophecies or the book?
Well, you know, I started, Gene, with the movie itself. So that's where it began, about 2003.
Now, what impressed you so much about the movie?
You know, and I think it's a great question because it's not a phenomenal movie. I mean, it's a good movie. It's entertaining. It's authentic. I mean, the thing that really drilled me in was the mystery of the lead character, what he was going through, all these different things that were happening with this manifestation of a Mothman type creature, which is new. I mean, it was new to society anyhow. People didn't really have any history on that. But there were UFOs in Point Pleasant. There were Men in Black. There was Indrid Cold. There were so many different things that were going on. But what really got me at the end, after this, you know, suspenseful, weird 2-hour drive, was that they said it was based upon a real story. So it was that point that got me into finding John Keel's book. And since then, it's been almost 20 years worth of digging deeper and deeper and learning more and more about it. It's just a fascinating story.
Now, I understand the movie, of course, was fantasy fiction, but it was heavily influenced by John Keel's book and Richard Gere, the star. Imagine the prestige of all the people who could play a composite of you in a movie. Richard Gere was pretty high on the list, especially in those days. You have to think about it. You have to think about the character. Richard Gere doesn't look anything like John Keel.
No.
Which is probably good for Richard Gere.
Yeah.
But the thing here is we look at Mothman as something that happened way back when. So what made you want to pursue it further?
You know, the more that I dug into it, and interestingly enough, as you just mentioned, the movie is fiction. I mean, it's a very Hollywoodized version of things that took place in the 60s. I mean, they transposed those events and broadcast them as being something that was happening presently, which was 2002. When I went and bought the book, which is so much more in-depth and with detail, and they call it the Mothman Prophecies. You know, that part of it was something I really sunk my teeth into. I think some of the otherworldly type communication that came to Keel that he writes about in the book and then in subsequent, you know, publishings that have come out since then, that's the part that really grabbed me because I loved his ultra-terrestrial and multi-dimensional version of the cosmos, basically, and I find it absolutely fascinating. It's an endless rabbit hole. It's, to me, I've described it for people who don't know about the whole Mothman Prophecies saga. If you're familiar with Skinwalker Ranch, it's like an older version of Skinwalker Ranch because you have a plethora of paranormal activity.
Now, in all deep respect to the situation at Skinwalker, there's some people who have come not to believe it is a melting pot of paranormal events.
I've not really studied it nearly as deeply as I have, you know, the whole Mothman situation. I did read a book a couple of years ago about the topic, and then I watched the television series, which I found to be interesting, but I haven't heard anything from debunkers. I'm curious to know what you're speaking of.
Well, some months back we had Erica Luce, a researcher from Utah, on the show, and she really put it down. She thought that a lot of it was just to bring attention to the area. And after Bob Bigelow sold it, in fact, I had read there was a movement to make it some kind of tourist attraction. So, for example, with Roswell, New Mexico, we have something that happened. I don't know what it was, whether a spaceship or something else. And they've done their efforts to monetize it. So you could monetize something without having to fake it. But anyway, going back to Point Pleasant, obviously we have the creature, but we also have the word prophecies. What did it predict?
Well, there were all kinds of things that John Keel wrote about in the book. In the movie itself, for those folks who have seen the movie and maybe not read the book or done any deeper research into it, in the movie, they have this Indrid Cold character or ultra-terrestrial entity nobody ever really sees, except for one of the characters. They never show him on camera, but in any event, they took that segment and attributed all these different prophecies that Keel was writing about to the Indrid Cold character. Now, in the book, that wasn't necessarily the case. He was allegedly contacted by otherworldly entities that went by the names Apol, which is A-P-O-L, and Agar, which is A-G-A-R, and he writes extensively about that in different articles. But they gave him all kinds of prophecies. They were channeled mostly by a lady by the name of J.P. Perro. She was a radio show host back in the 60s out of Babylon, New York. These prophecies that were given were about the Martin Luther King assassination. That was something that was given to Keel, and he attempted to contact King's people to try to help prevent the assassination. Obviously, he wasn't able to do that, unfortunately. But there was also the attempt on the life of the sitting pope back in 1968 also. And that, thankfully, was thwarted. There was an attempt, but it was an unsuccessful attempt. So there were a number of things that were coming to Keel that he was trying to warn other people about, but he wasn't really able to stop.
Well, as a practical matter, if somebody, even if he's a published book author, contacts the people working with a famous person, says, hey, you may be assassinated. Number one, I assume his people knew there was a target on his back anyway and just couldn't solve it, certainly with a president.
Mm-hmm.
It would be that way. So I kind of look at it that way. And if they look at John Keel's background, oh, he writes books about UFOs.
Why do we want to listen to him?
Exactly. He may be 100% on the ball, but we see the problem.
But I found that to be really fascinating, Gene, in terms of the things that did happen that he'd gotten information of. And one of the things that he talked about that was so disconcerting to him was when the Silver Bridge collapsed on December 15th of 1967. By the way, he illustrated what was happening throughout the book. He felt that something bad was going to happen, but he never could really pinpoint what it was going to be. He didn't know it was the bridge. So that was, part of his legacy that he really was very disturbed by, because although he received all this information, he just couldn't really narrow it down to what actually happened.
Based on the situation, could anything have been done to save that bridge? Obviously, they have many engineering reasons why it failed.
They do. And that bridge was constructed and it was basically opened up in 1928. So I wasn't around in 1928, but from the pictures and the history that I know.
Well, some people think I was, but that's not true.
I didn't think so. From what I have learned, everything was constructed differently back then than it is now. And the weight that was on the bridge in 1928 obviously was totally different than it was in 1967. But they pinpointed down, once the bridge collapsed and they were able to salvage the debris from the river, they reconstructed the bridge, in a field not far away from where the crash site was. And they were able to pin it down to one of the I-bars. This was not a suspension bridge in the traditional sense, but it was constructed by what they call I-bars. And in I-bar number 13, there was a structural flaw that when it was cast and then built, it over time just grew and grew and grew and grew to the point that it couldn't sustain the weight that was on it in 1967. That bridge was loaded with all kinds of vehicles, including semis that didn't even exist in the 20s. It didn't stand a chance.
We stand a chance with these announcements with Bill and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history, physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's BETTER to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's BETTER to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
This is how we do every day. We be grinding, and if you want to come and text us,
if you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is Mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So certainly that's one thing, a very old bridge. As a matter of fact, right now we have many hundreds, thousands of structures around the United States that could fail tomorrow. I mean, that's why they had a bill in Congress. It was done by both parties, by the way, to spend money to fix these bridges. So it's not unusual for things like that to happen. Strange irony, though, you say number 13.
Yes. And, you know, through some of the research that my wife Jackie and I have been able to do, and working with other researchers such as the Illinois State Director for MUFON, a gentleman by the name of Sam Maranto, we've come up with all kinds of different numerical correlations with the numbers 13, 31, 35, bridges that have fallen, correspondences between, I don't know if you knew this or not, but there was another bridge that collapsed in West Virginia in 1904 on the very same day that the Silver Bridge collapsed just 63 years earlier. So there's all kinds of weird numerical stuff.
Certainly, this is one of the things where it stopped you both right. Well, there may be a paranormal factor involved, or, of course, it's just engineering. Stuff like that happens. It's unfortunate. Mistakes are made. There's no way, as you realize, to predict in the 1920s what load would be required on a bridge in the 1960s. The only thing, of course, is you think that the town fathers, so to speak, in the 60s would look at the structures in their city and say, you know what? Can it handle the loads we're presenting to it now? But that requires responsibility, and quite often with governments, they act after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that was something that in the research that we've been able to conduct the last year and a half in Point Pleasant and in the Charleston area, that universally, the folks we talked to said, unfortunately, in circumstances like this, for change to happen, somebody frequently has to pay with their lives. And unfortunately, hindsight's 20/20, they did enact a number of different bridge inspection policies that I think have benefited different areas throughout the country since the bridge collapsed. But yeah, I mean, 46 people had to die, and their families had to be affected, and the communities at large, yeah.
Anyway, to return to your studies of the Mothman episode, the crash of the Silver Bridge and everything. In passing, what's your take on the book that Gray Barker wrote, which is more allegorical than literal?
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. The Silver Bridge by Gray Barker, and you know, came out in 1970, so it predated the release of the Mothman Prophecies by about 5 years. I think Gray Barker took some poetic license. You used the word allegorical. I think that's a really good representation of the book. I think one of the things that that book did is it really captured the ambiance of the film, or I should say the film captured the ambiance really of Gray Barker's book, because he made it very mysterious. I mean, he made it very, almost like ethereal. He alluded to different things. He did mention the name Agar, which I talked about a few minutes ago, and he had represented that character that was an ultra-terrestrial as far as Kiel was concerned, but represented her as a different type of a man in black. And it just really, it kind of a strange book, but really fun, and I think it really helps to round out what it was like in Point Pleasant in the greater Ohio River Valley back in the 60s.
Now, Gray Barker, of course, is often recognized for the fact that he was a consummate hoaxer with his friend Jim Moseley, but he was also a brilliant writer. And when he let the powers go in full bloom, he can come up with some really fascinating work.
He's very entertaining. I have a number of his books and a handful of his audiobooks. Flying Saucers and the Three Men, I think, is one of them, which I find to be a very interesting tale. They knew too much about flying saucers. I think that's his big one. And then there's Men in Black, The Secret Terror Among Us, which is the first one that I read even before The Silver Bridge, which I was really fascinated by.
Now, the book Flying Saucers and the Three Men, that was authored by Albert Bender, but I think a lot of us realize Barker had a heavy hand at editing it. And that's where Bender explains, yes, allegedly, what those three men in black really were that he met in the early 50s and caused him to shut down his organization, and had nothing whatever to do with the theory that those were government agencies. He said it was E.T. After a brief lecture tour, Bender kind of withdrew. He and his wife moved to California, where he spent the rest of his life.
Somebody or somebody got to him, didn't they?
I met Bender. I watched him lecture about this. I haven't a clue.
So, meaning that basically he might have been authentic and went off the radar because he was scared, or he might have made the whole thing up?
Well, he may have had a psychic experience. He was very much into mysticism and everything. He may have had some kind of weird experience, but in explaining it to people, he colored it in a more physical, acceptable way to be politically correct.
And I think that's a good way of putting it, because as I've understood from the little bit of research I've gathered about him, it sounded like he was into some pretty dark stuff. And so it could have teetered on some type of negative spiritualism, but maybe he reframed that in terms of extraterrestrials. I don't know.
Or he could have gone off the deep end. I don't know. But he seemed like a pretty sane, straight-ahead sort of guy, not the kind of person who was running around the country, especially in those days. This is the 1960s, claiming to have been in contact with Venusians and Martians and Saturnians and all sorts of things like that. So he's, as I said, he seemed a pretty straight-ahead guy. He did not obviously seek fame and fortune. And there you go. What can I tell you? It may also be that he said, you know, people have been pestering me for all these years. Maybe I should come up with something. They'll leave me alone. I have no idea.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about him is he had really a thriving business. Whether it was making a lot of money or not, I don't know. But he had a pretty good following there for quite some time, didn't he?
As UFO organizations, I suppose, but it was really only around for, what, a year or two?
Is that all it was?
Oh, yeah. It folded pretty quickly. And remember, too, that UFO organizations over the years have come, they go, there could be practical reasons, they can't get enough members, practical reasons, people just tire of the subject, get frustrated with making no progress. Lots of reasons why organizations come and go, but this one supposedly had a large following around the world, at least according to Gray Barker's book, They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers.
Right.
A lot of people suggest also, and we'll get into this in other subjects in our next segment, suggest also that that book was the last fully serious, straightforward book that Gray Barker ever wrote. After that, he also played with flights of fancy, except The Silver Bridge being, I think, in another way, a pretty serious book. Bill Kusilis, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz are in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwhyprotein.net. That's bestwhyprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg wrote a letter to airline carriers on Thursday telling them to improve their service, warning them that new rules may be coming to better empower travelers. According to data from the department, about 24% of domestic flights have been delayed, just more than 3% of them canceled in the first half of this year. Buttigieg added in the letter that his department will have a new website live by Labor Day weekend, clearly displaying each airline's cancellation, delay, and refund policies. The State Department has called on the Kremlin to release imprisoned opposition leader Alexei Navalny on the second anniversary of his being poisoned with a nerve agent. The department accused Russian officers of trying to assassinate Navalny, who was arrested after being treated in Germany upon his return to Russia in January 2021. This is USA Radio News. The New York State Inspector General said in a report that a state trooper should have been disciplined for getting romantically involved with then-Governor Andrew Cuomo's adult daughter while serving on his security detail. The report came 2 years after the relationship and the trooper's apparent banishment to a post near the Canadian border. It was speculated at the time that Cuomo personally ordered the transfer because he was upset over the relationship. The report does not address whether the governor requested the transfer or which daughter it was. A Cuomo spokesman said Friday that he had no role in it. A federal judge told South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham that he still has to testify before a grand jury in Fulton County, Georgia. Graham had asked the judge for an emergency stay as he appealed the decision ordering him to speak to the panel that is investigating whether former President Trump and his allies interfered with the 2020 presidential election in the Peach State. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue with Bill Kuselis joining us, his research into Mothman. Now, being that it was an event of 70 years ago, what led you to engage in all the continuous research?
That's something I am asked on a regular basis. And I think, you know, you mentioned a little bit before about the UFO groups and societies, and we've had kind of a passing, my wife Jackie and I have had a passing relationship with MUFON. You know, the story of the Mothman really pulled me in. I think it combined a lot of different interests for me. There's a part of me I know that was really attracted to the entire thing because I was born in 1967. So in some ways, it kind of correlates with me coming into this world. So I think to some degree, I was interested in going back and not necessarily looking at my roots, but, you know, what was going on when I was a little guy, you know, a baby, when I came into the world. And this whole flap started in 66. I was born in August of 67. And in December, the bridge went down. And so that was something that I found to be really interesting. Now, I'll tell you, Keel talks about the day of September the 6th across, you know, various different years. And in his book, The Mothman Prophecies, and some of the other works he's come up with, he refers back to the date of September the 6th very frequently. J.P. Perro, who I mentioned before, who was the talk show host, WBAB, to Babylon, New York, her birthday was September the 6th. Now, in addition to that, September the 6th was also the date that a number of folks, that number of ladies that Keel had interviewed during the course of his paranormal career, all had the birthday of September the 6th. Guess what day Jackie and I met each other on?
I think you've already told us.
September the 6th.
Yes, sir.
We met on September the 6th, and what I didn't realize at that point in time was her son, my stepson now, his birthday is September the 6th. So we just kept on finding all these different numbers as they were popping up. The same date kept coming up. That drilled me into, what's going on here? Are these just coincidences? I mean, what the heck is happening here? This date keeps on coming up.
You know, it's interesting here, more unfortunate for me, my birthday is September 9th.
Oh, you're close.
Yeah, close, but no cigar.
Yeah. So September the 6th was one of the things, but like I mentioned, this brings in several different types of things I've been interested in over the years. You've got the UFOs, because, I mean, those of us in the paranormal community familiar with Mothman, a lot of us, we know that Mothman was allegedly this black-winged creature, silhouetted, dark red, you know, bright red eyes, and basically would take off and go straight up like a helicopter. Didn't flap its wings, although it had wings. We know about that. That's Mothman, right? But what I think a lot of people aren't aware of, who only know it kind of from the 10,000-foot level, is that the UFO activity in Point Pleasant during this time was more predominant than the sightings of Mothman were. We've talked to a number of people from Point Pleasant, people who experienced the lights in the sky that Keel alludes to in one of the chapters in his book that he saw. There were disembodied voices, there were cattle mutilations, there was all kinds of crazy paranormal stuff going on back in 67 in Point Pleasant. So it really kind of, it pulled me in from multiple levels, from hauntings to poltergeists to Men in Black to UFOs and, of course, Mothman. There's just, the allure of it is never ending.
The thing about the Point Pleasant area at that time is that it was almost like a mythological aspect to it, with all of the different things going on. As you pointed out, there was UFO activity, and not only was it occurring around Point Pleasant, but it was also occurring across the river into Ohio as well. But then you had the Men in Black and cryptid sightings. I mean, it's just this incredible buildup of activity going on. For what reason?
Agreed. And it was all over the country. I like the way that Keel introduced us to the Mothman Prophecies book, where he talks about how you can measure a circle by beginning at any point on that circle. He said that he was looking for some place to start, and he hit the jackpot when he ended up in Point Pleasant because the activity was off the charts. But to your point, Tim, this was going on all over the country. There were UFO flaps all over the place. There were Men in Black in Owatonna, Minnesota. I mean, that was going on as well, too. And there were all kinds of things. And I want to say Bigfoot began right around that time, too, right?
Possibly. I mean, there were stories about Bigfoot in the popular press in the late 1950s. But, yeah, I mean, there was like a national interest that was starting to build up around 66, 67 about Sasquatch sightings, especially out in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm. Was it the Patterson film that I'm thinking of? Was that released 66, 67?
Yeah, it was around that time.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a huge researcher when it comes to Bigfoot. I just know that the timeline of when it was getting more popular was right around the same time as Mothman was.
So, I mean, do you think that this was a situation in Point Pleasant where, as often is when it comes to paranormal activity, you know, when you get your eyes on it, it seems to increase exponentially. It's almost like the Simpsons cartoon, you know, just don't look. If you're not paying attention, nothing happens. If you're paying attention, then everything seems to be crawling out from the woodwork.
Right. You know, and Keel talked about that, too. I mean, he talked about as you got more and more engaged in this, the more you looked for it, the more it expanded. And even, I think it's Richard Haddam in one of Seth Breedlove's documentaries, The Mothman Legacy, that came out a couple of years ago, talked about, and Richard Haddam, I think you guys are probably aware, was one of the executives involved in the in the production of the Mothman Prophecies film. But he talked about how Kiel basically tried to remain as objective as possible as he was investigating all this phenomena, and the phenomena kind of brought him along for the ride, made him more the subject of what was going on than the other way around.
We've kind of danced around the subject of Point Pleasant and UFOs and Mothman. Perhaps for our audience who may not be quite as filled in on this, why don't you give us like a brief synopsis of just what was going on in Point Pleasant that got Kiel interested in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate the segue because we haven't given a lot of background about that, have we? The community of Point Pleasant in West Virginia, it sits right on the banks of the Ohio River. It's right across the river from a little town called Gallipolis, Ohio. They're kind of one community, symbiotic in the word, that's the word that Danny Bellamy used when we interviewed him, was that they're basically one community. But river town, kind of, to me, it's idyllic. It's a really nice small town with a really positive vibe, but back in November of 66, they began having some strange things happen. Now, even before November of 66, there were some UFO sightings. But on November the 15th of 66, Mothman made his way into town. And when I say he made his way into town, Mothman was sighted a few days previous to that in a little town called Clendenin, West Virginia, by three gravediggers. They were out there doing their job in a cemetery. They looked up and they saw this black or brown winged being that they described as being a man with wings. And then 3 days later, there were a couple of couples, Roger and Linda Scarberry and Steve and Mary Millette. They were both late teens, but they were married couples, and they were driving around in an area that's just north of Point Pleasant, about 11 miles up Route 62, in an area that's known today as the McClintock Wildlife Preserve, but it's also known by what it was referred to back then, which was the TNT area. And a little history on the TNT area is that back during World War II, there was a munitions camp that was there where the government had contracted with individuals locally to be able to manufacture dynamite, TNT.
Let's break. We'll pick up on that in our next segment with Bill, Gene, Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
We continue with Bill Kuselis. Tim Swartz is our guest co-host. Bill, please continue the story.
Yes, so we were talking about the TNT area and the fact that local Point Pleasant people and from the surrounding area were working to manufacture TNT for the World War II efforts back in the 40s. As I've learned, that there were basically blacked out buses of employees who were driven into this area, which is near north of Point Pleasant, to go in to do their jobs, to manufacture TNT. They didn't really know what it was for specifically. As it turned out, it was for the atomic bombs that we dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. So as soon as World War II was over, this TNT area was shut down. It was never really cleaned up, so there was toxic waste basically all over the place, which seeped into the ground and such, and that creates another layer of the mythology of the whole Mothman thing. But as this being manifests itself to these two young couples on November the 15th of 1966, they were just kind of hanging out, driving around through this foresty area now, and they saw this black-winged creature with these piercing red eyes, and, you know, it scared them half to death. So they jumped back into Roger's, I think it was 57 Chevy, and they hightailed it out of there onto Route 62 and then took off and drove south at about 100 miles an hour trying to escape from this thing while all the while it was tracking them all the way to the outskirts of Point Pleasant. Now, I've been up and down Route 62 on the Ohio River right there because it's right on the banks, and I got to tell you, driving the speed limit is scary during the day, let alone at night. So these kids had to be terrified in order to take off and to do this. And they ended up at the police station, and they filed a police report that they had seen what I just described, this black-winged creature was chasing them at unbelievable speeds.
Which, you know, kids, there had to have been something going on if they would take the effort to go and report this to the police. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, kids throughout time is like, you know, no, we're not going to go to the police.
Yeah, I mean, as a 16-year-old kid or an 18-year-old kid or even, you know, gosh, even older than that, you don't normally want to go to the police unless you feel like you absolutely have to. So for a couple of late teens couples, you know, four individuals, to show up at the police station mortified to file reports to this degree, they met with a guy, Deputy, I think, Millard Halstead was his name, and they filed reports with him, and he said, hey, look,
These are all reputable kids. None of them has ever been in trouble. I have no reason to believe they're making this up. And they even quarantined each one of them and took statements individually, and they didn't vary. I mean, they stayed consistent throughout their stories.
So one of the unusual things about the whole Mothman sightings is that there were multiple Mothman sightings. You know, typically, with cryptids, they'll be seen once, twice possibly, and that's it. But we've got multitudes, you know, of Mothman sightings, and probably more that never got reported.
Exactly, exactly. And I've got to know Jeff Wamsley from the Mothman Museum, who's also the co-founder of the Mothman Festival, pretty well. We've been visiting Point Pleasant since 2016 now and go out there at least once a year. We live in Chicagoland. I asked him point blank, I said, Jeff, I mean, how many people came forward and filed reports? And what he shared with me was that there were at least 100 people who came forward and filed reports and basically told authorities or researchers, at least two of them, that this had happened. He said the odds are that there were at least 200, half of them didn't come forward to report at all because, I mean, especially back in the 60s, I mean, even now people still hesitate. But in the 60s, that's a much more conservative time and a much more conservative area, you know, that I live in. You're not going to bring this stuff out because you're going to be pegged as somebody who's not playing with a full deck.
Well, and considering the population in that area, if you have 200-plus people reporting this, that's pretty sizable percentage going on there.
It's a really good chunk of the population. Now, we ran the numbers at one point, and I want to say the greater area in 67 was around 6,000 or 6,500 people. Mm-hmm. So if you figure 200 people came out, that's a pretty sizable proportion of a community's population to be coming forward and saying, hey, you know what? Something crazy is going on. I'm a little nervous to talk about it, but I got to tell somebody.
Now, of course, at this time, or really, you know, afterwards, the skeptics always love to chime in and say that, oh, well, you know, these kids seem like, you know, a barn owl or maybe a, you know, a great blue heron, you know, yeah, sure, in the middle of the night. But these witnesses were people that were very familiar, you know, with the area that they lived in and all the animals. So I think it would be kind of hard, don't you, to mistake a mundane animal for something extraordinary.
I agree with you. You know, and one of the things that, again, I'll bring up the name Denny Bellamy. Denny's been in, I think he told me, over 60 documentaries, which I didn't even know there were 60 Mothman documentaries or Point Pleasant documentaries. But he's the executive director of the Mason County Convention and Visitors Bureau. And he told us that, look, guys, West Virginia is an outdoor state. He said, we're hunters. He said, the men all hunt. The women all hunt. Deer season begins. We're all out there. Nobody gets shot. We know what we're doing with guns. He said, we are really, really good at hunting. If this was a physical creature, somebody would have killed it by now.
Do you know, did anybody ever take a shot at it?
Not that I am aware of. That's not something that I've actually heard. Is that, you know, the neat thing about Mothman is, although it scared people half to death, it never really harmed anybody. I mean, not physically. So, no, I don't believe anybody took a shot at it. If they did, that's something I'm unaware of.
Well, that's also true with many instances of paranormal events. People supposedly try to take a shot at something, but it never produces any results.
Right. Right. They don't play by the same rules as we do.
Well, if you look at a creature as described, the Mothman, even though it had large wings, nobody ever seen them flap. And it just, like you said, it just took off like a helicopter. And even with as big a wings as it had, a flesh and blood creature would need even larger wings, if that would be even possible, in order to sustain flight. So there's something else going on here than, say, you know, a flesh and blood physical creature.
I agree with you 100%. I've, in studying the whole phenomena over the years, I've I don't want to say I've come to the conclusion, but I'm of the opinion that it's not a flesh and blood entity. I think it's something else. You know, whether that means it's on a different frequency than we are, or that it's electrical in nature, or that it's a spiritual entity, or even angelic or demonic, you know, I don't know, because I don't have answers to any of that stuff. I don't think any of us really does. But I don't think it was a flesh and blood creature. I just don't buy that.
When you also look at its most dominant feature besides wings were its large glowing red eyes. People said that it looked like that the eyes were glowing from the inside, not a reflective glow. And this is something that you have seen throughout history when it comes to paranormal type creatures. You know, like the black shucks in England, other types of paranormal related Bigfoot types of creatures.
Yes. You know, and there's a popular opinion that if it's got red glowing eyes, it's not a positive entity. You know, I've certainly been keen to that opinion for a long time myself. I don't see it necessarily, at least Mothman in particular, as being an evil entity. I do think it's something that we don't understand, obviously, and I think that's a lot of its allure. But yeah, I mean, you do hear a lot of talk, obviously, about some of these other entities or, you know, energy manifestations or what have you. They're not built the same way that we are, and they have some of those striking characteristics you mentioned.
One, as John Keel mentioned, it would almost be like the only part of this creature that had a substance to it was the eyes, and that everything else was formed around the eyes.
And a neat thing about the eyes as well, too, is that those who did encounter it often said that they had a hypnotic quality to them, as though you could see them, and then you would have missing time. And a lot of the folks, a lot of the witnesses had conjunctivitis, where their eyes would be all, it's like an elevated form of pink eye, so to speak. And that's something that's similar, from what I understand, to being in the presence of radiation for an extended period of time.
For an extended period of time, we'll have plenty to talk about, but right now the pause that refreshes with Gene and Bill and Tim. And who knows who else you're in?
The Podcast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at vantagepointsoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.